We're gonna get this right.
Shit.
This is great.
Okay.
And it looks good. Hey, Kitty Reynolds. Welcome to Tori's Stupid Podcast.
It's so fucking
where
stupid.
We talk about nothing and anything, and we do whatever the fuck we want because we can.
Okay. I gotta stop clapping.
Fellow comedian. When did we meet?
We met in the basement of 7th Street. What was it called?
Whiskey 77? Cellar?
Yeah. Cellar 77.
That's where we met?
Yeah, because I thought we were both hosting that open mic that Rio
yes,
was doing.
Yes, Rio. We were Rio's girls.
Rio's girls. We were Rio's angels.
Yes.
And I think that that's when we met is because when I would like do the sign-up sheet, you were like leaving and I was doing the next. And we were like, we got to fucking be friends. Like, we're Rio's girls.
Yes. Okay, thank you. It's so funny because I had Isaac on yesterday and that's where we met as well.
Really?
That place really was a hub for our class to come together.
It was a great open mic spot.
It was. And like everyone in there were like, you just walked in and like you knew everyone and it felt very like, even though the mic itself kind of sucked just because mics are tough.
Oh yeah, it totally sucked.
And I was always like weirdly nervous.
Every time.
Especially hosting. Hosting sucks. Hosting at open mic is like, no one needs to get up in between comics at a mic.
No.
No one.
Looking back, it's so funny that I like did time in between an open mic. Like, it's embarrassing, but it did, I think, inform. Like, it did help.
Yeah.
It really did help because I was just goofing.
And even just the act of getting up, grabbing the mic, how do I want to hold it? What's the point of holding this for 3 seconds when the next comes? Like,
right.
Your brain has to think through so many like niche things.
The best part, though, with sorry, I just interrupted you. I gotta stop doing that.
No, you didn't. Not at all.
When you're, I mean, there's no women at these mics. Maybe it was just like maybe one or two.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're hosting, and it's all the guys, and you're just kind of like Lord of the Flies, and you just get to be like. The queen.
Yeah, you did feel like the queen, especially when you were crushing. You're like, do other women exist on the planet Earth?
Right.
I don't think so.
Right, I'm sorry. Who the fuck are you?
It's just me out here.
I'm the only woman ever.
Ever.
Who's ever lived. It's the power of like telling that like boys walk in and being like, can I get on? And I'm like,
sorry.
Maybe.
Yeah, if you're lucky, bitch. It's so funny. It was National Women's History, whatever the fuck, yesterday. Mm-hmm. It was whatever. The day, Women's History
IWD.
Day. It's the whole month, but a lot of people posted for it. And this one, my friend Taylor, you know Tay LaVie?
Yeah, she's sweet.
Sweet. She posted the first female marathon runner. And it was 1967. And I'm like, that's yesterday.
That's literally.
Literally yesterday. And some man tried to pull her off the course. Yeah, there's a photo of her being like pulled off the course.
I mean, it's fucking wild. We didn't get credit
cards. That was yesterday. 70
something.
Yeah.
And we just got here.
It's crazy.
We just got here.
And like, you've heard all my stuff where like men will constantly tell me like women aren't funny.
Yeah.
And I was talking to, I'll tell you, who after, but I was talking to someone, a comic, about this. He's like, yeah, I mean, like, you were just given the right to vote, so like it's not like that crazy for people to like say women aren't funny. And I'm like, that's kind of crazy that you're like doubling down on it, but like you make a fair point,
right? It's like, I don't agree with you, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I get your rationale, but like you're kind of being a dick,
right? That's the funniest shit when someone says that compliment, because you're like, how do I say thank you but also slap you in the face?
Right, it's like you're taking down an entire gender.
Right.
There's only two.
Right.
So it's okay. So Kitty, Maggie, and I all went out on Thursday, and it was very fun because we took a year off of drinking.
Yep.
I took a year and 2 months. How long was your stint?
I was almost a year and a half. Like, okay, now I have to tell the story.
Okay, so
we had a fucking blast.
Uh-huh.
We leave New York Comedy Club, and I Uber home to Queens. A classic for me.
Classic.
I Uber every night. Sorry about it. I'm in debt, but whatever.
How
I'm
much
staying
was
safe.
The Uber?
Oh, it's always like $40 usually.
Okay, mine was 15 and for to go like less than a mile. So
yeah. Thursday.
And it was kind of rainy, right?
No. Yeah, it was rainy. And we were just, you know, we were drunk. But so, you know, I get back home. Now it's getting fuzzy. You know what I mean? Like, I remember Ubering home, like leaving New York, but then I was like, I actually don't remember like getting out of the Uber.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So I get home and I guess, and I remember like being home. I didn't fully black out, but so Tyler's like, do you have your phone? And I'm like, no, like, no. And he's like, okay. And then I wake up and I'm like, fuck me. I'm like, where's my fucking phone? Yeah.
Wait, so you literally were like, wow.
Yeah, I was okay. Like, nah, it's so much fun. It's probably somewhere.
How little you care when you're drunk.
Right.
You're like, your foot fell off. You're like, okay.
Right. It's just my entire life and career on here, yeah. But I'll get it tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's only all of my social media and comedy ideas. So I wake up, you know, like a fucking, I yeah. jump up, uh-huh. I grab my laptop. Tyler's like, yep, like, you know, you left it in the Uber. That's clearly, we look at the location. It's definitely not stolen. It looks like it maybe died on the BQE on this guy's way home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I message the driver. He's like, I have it. I'm like, thank fucking God. But he's like, I'm on Long Island. Mm-hmm. I'm in Deer Park. And I'm like, okay, guess you're I'm like, going to Deer
the
Park.
Neighborhood.
Yeah, guess we're going to the Deer Park outlets today. So I literally just get in an Uber, go to Woodside, uh-huh. get on the train, get on the LIRR with just my laptop and a dream. I have no phone. I literally, like, I wrote down the address uh-huh. because I was like,
yeah. Isn't that so weird?
I wrote down Tyler's phone number on my hand.
Stop.
And an address. And he was like, take my phone. And I was like, no, one, I don't deserve it. Two.
That's thoughtful, though.
He was so thoughtful.
When I lost my phone, my friend gave me her phone to go get my phone from a taxi once.
That's so sweet.
It was so sweet.
That's a real one.
But then he was asleep. So then I had to go back to her place. And then I had to walk to Brooklyn. I could have probably taken a cab. But I just forgot. I think I had nothing on me. And then I walked to my sister's. And then I had the guy meet me at my sister's. And he handed me my phone. And he goes, you should probably change your password. Because it was 1234. And I was like,
oh my God.
Legend, sir. I think I handed him like $30. And I was like, thanks. So we've all been there.
You need to change your password.
That was because I was wasted.
Right. We've all done it. There's no shame. And that's what I had to keep reminding myself. Because as soon as I woke up, I was like, I'm going to fucking shoot myself. And then I was like, you know what? I had an awesome night.
Yeah.
I didn't hurt anyone. I didn't hurt myself. I just got to go get that fucking phone.
Yeah.
So I get on the train and I am actually in a blissful state because I'm like, I'm not on my phone. I'm just kind of letting the day happen.
And you know he's going to give you your phone back.
Yeah.
That's great.
So it's on the other end.
Yeah.
And, but the funniest shit is like, I get on the train and like the conductor, I'm like, I need to buy a ticket from you. And he's like, you don't have your phone? I go, no, I'm going to get my phone, so I need to buy a ticket from you. He's like, come on, it's cheaper if you do it. I'm like, I know. I usually buy it on my fucking phone. I am going to Deer Park. So it was so funny. I give him like a $20 bill. And then I...
You literally lived in like the 80s for like an hour.
Literally. And
how
I kept...
How did your parents do it?
Well, honestly, now I see because I had a lovely day.
Oh, scary.
It was scary. So...
We're fucked.
You're gonna die. I get to Deer Park. Uh-huh. And also, I'm just really like, I'm really in 1985. Oh, next stop, Deer Park. That's where I'm getting up. Like, I'm not looking at Google Maps. Yeah. I'm like, okay, next stop. I get off. And I'm like, I go to a taxi, like not an Uber. This guy and I go, I got an address. I go, I don't know where it is. He goes, and I go, it's, you know, this street. And he's like, where is that? I go,
you
that's
kind
of your job, babe. Why would you think I know where I'm going?
I got a number and a street address.
Yeah. I felt like in Finding Nemo, like 42 Wallaby Way, Sydney, 42 Wallaby. I'm literally Dory. I'm just like 246 Avenue. So I'm literally just like, okay. So I did this. And the taxi, by the way, no meter.
A what?
No meter. So that's I'm crazy. Literally, it's just me and this man and a dream again. So
you're like, are you a cab?
Yeah. And so, and he says he knows where we're going, okay. You know. And
the
luckily.
The trust you put into total strangers is kind of wild.
And luckily, I'm from Long Island, so this is like, I'm familiar with the state of affairs. So
I'd be so lost.
He's like, okay, I'll get us there. I'm like,
like,
okay.
When you say Long Island Railroad, I'm like, I don't know what that means.
Right. Like, it's...
Are you on a train?
Thank
are
God.
Are you on, like, the, like, Polar Express? That's what I'm picturing.
Yeah. kind of, yeah.
Okay.
It's the Polar Express, but everyone talks like this, you know? So, which I have another Long Island Railroad story. We could go all day.
Oh, man. I mean, I'm here.
So, I'm in the cab, and it's getting clear he doesn't really know where this address is. But he has a smartphone.
Okay.
And he's not
That's all we need these
using
days.
It. So I'm like, hey, you can, I was like, you can you pull have over. A phone. I don't mind if you want to pull over and look it up. I just can't look it up. I don't have a phone. He pulls over. I kid you not, Tori. He phones a friend.
What?
He doesn't look it up. He goes, do you know where this address is? The guy goes, you don't know where that is? And he's like, so I'm just listening to these two cab drivers like go back and forth. And I'm like, guys, you have an iPhone.
Did you think about Googling it or you didn't have Wi-Fi?
I mean, I didn't have Wi-Fi, so I couldn't, you know.
Okay, can I use your hotspot on your phone to look on my computer for your location, sir?
Right, I was like, I can't. If he isn't even using Google Maps,
right.
He can't hotspot me.
He can't hotspot.
He's like, oh, it's near the White Castle and the car wash. I'm like, okay, good. We know where we're going. So we get there. And we get to a normal suburban home on Long Island. And I tell him, I go, can you wait for me? Because now I'm sure he's not going to kill me. It's a little early in the morning, you know, and he hadn't yet. So I was like, can you just wait for me and then take me to a Starbucks after? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, sure.
What do you do at the Starbucks after?
To charge the phone.
So and then figure out your next move.
Yeah. So like I see the steps of like, okay. So I go to the door and I knock. No one's answering. And I'm like, fuck me. Like I'm getting scammed. Like something's going on.
Oh, that's the worst feeling.
I knock again.
You're like, why did I drink alcohol?
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm a piece of shit. Like, okay. So then I'm like, oh, stupid fucking kitty. So, had to just have some fun with the friends. So I'm knocking and now I'm like looking in the door a little because I'm like being a little nosy. And a man, older Indian man who's not my Uber driver comes to the door. We're talking.
It's not you.
Yeah. We're talking full linen matching set.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I'm like, hey. And he clearly doesn't speak English, but he's super like friendly.
You're like,
yeah. And I'm like, does an Uber driver live here? And he goes. And I'm like, no, I can't really come in here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in a strange house.
Yeah.
And he's like, come on. And I'm like. Okay, so I go in the house.
Shut up.
I'm standing on the welcome mat, and I'm just waiting. And he's like, you know, he's basically, I surmise he's saying 1 second. Mm-hmm. And he goes upstairs to retrieve who I believe to be my Uber driver.
Yeah.
And this woman comes out, another sort of older Indian lady, the cutest thing in the world. She starts hugging me. She's like, come on. She's basically, I'm noticing in her gestures that she's like, come in the kitchen, I'll make you like a cup of tea kind of thing.
Wow.
And I'm like, and she's smiley, sweet, hugging me. I'm like.
Do you feel you're being groomed for a second?
Yeah, I was like, what's going on? But I was like, oh, this is just, I see what's going on here. These, like the kid is the Uber driver. Like,
oh, cute.
And he's sleeping. And so they're entertaining me.
Okay.
Yeah, like they think I'm a friend or something, or like they're just being sweet.
Yeah. Oh, those are his parents.
Yeah.
Got it.
So she's, and I'm like, no, 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 I can't go in the kitchen. Like, I really can't go past the welcome mat. Like, I am.
You're like, this is already too far.
There has been so much stranger danger today. Yeah. Like, I cannot go. You seem like awesome people, but like, I have to be a little fucking smart here. So she's just looking at me, not speaking any English, like full sentences in another language that I truly don't know.
Yeah.
You know? And she's like, and I'm just going, I'm like, I'm just like, thank you so much, thank you. But I'm waiting for this fucking kid.
Yeah.
All of a sudden comes downstairs the Uber driver. He's clearly, you know, like a 22-year-old kid.
Did you remember him from the night before?
Yeah, like I vaguely remember. Yeah. I was like, okay. So then we walk out together to his car. He grabs the phone and...
Did you have money for him or anything?
I tipped him on the app.
Okay.
I had cash, but I was like, something about it felt weird to be like, please take this. I was I'll tip you in the app. So he gives me my phone and my fucking CVS bag.
Amazing. That bag went through the whole night.
The whole night. How? And the next day. And so I'm like, thank you so much. I like waved to the mom. I'm like, thank you. And I get in the cab and I'm like, okay, like, can you take me to Starbucks? And he's like, okay. We go. We ended up getting to McDonald's. And I was like, oh, this is fine. Just drop me off here. I just throw him $20 because my phone isn't charged yet to like do anything with it. And he just drops me off at McDonald's. I do my work because I was also like an hour behind for my work day because it was a Friday morning. Right. And I had to do a morning newsletter.
Oh, right. Your AI.
Yeah. So I'm an hour behind.
National Women's Day article.
Right. At me in McDonald's in Deer Park. I'm going, so OpenAI is Sam Altman. You know, it's like hysterical. So then I call my mom and I'm like, in a crazy turn of events, I'm in Deer Park. Can I come over? So I just go to my parents' house.
How far away were they?
They're about a half hour to like 40 minutes. So it's like
Because
it's
did they come get
they're
you?
They're North Shore. I was South Shore. I Ubered.
Okay.
Because I was like, guys, I'm just going to come over.
Yeah.
If that's okay. And my mom was like, Dad can come get you. I was like, no, honestly, like, no one needs to do me any favors. Yeah, like, I've done this to myself.
Yeah.
And I'm spending the money and coming to you. And then we actually had an awesome day.
Cute.
Where I got to see my Nana. We went to McDonald's again.
Why?
Because my Nana loves McDonald's.
That's amazing.
It's all she eats. She's 89. And so...
Sign me up for more McDonald's.
Right? That's the future, by the way. Yeah. So that's what we're looking at. So I literally had been to McDonald's twice yesterday, had made it out to Long Island.
Yesterday, too. Yes. The way you're describing this, it's like a week of events.
Right.
I'm like, oh, that was yesterday.
It's just one day.
That's so funny.
One day. Then, you know, I have a lovely evening. My parents drive me back to Queens. And I was like, you know what? I got drunk with my friends so that I could come out here and have an awesome day.
The domino effect of alcohol is crazy.
Yes.
Or, I mean, like, but really is drinking. Like, there are so many times where, like, I'll replay. Like, I'm like, okay, if I hadn't done that, then I don't think, like, I've gone on many dates. I've gone on many, like, weird random, like, because when I'm drinking, I'm like, for sure.
Yeah.
Or I'll DM or, like, I'll connect with people that I normally haven't. And I'm like 2 weeks later, I'll be out and I'll be like, oh, this is because I messaged you that day when I was.
Right.
And the domino effect. And what I felt was sobriety, too, was the domino effect of greatness that also happened where I'm like, oh, I didn't do that. So I didn't do this. And then I did this. So it's all this weird, like, chain of events.
Yes.
Like, but sometimes they're great. Yes. Sometimes they're great.
There's. It introduces weird, the uncontrollable to your life. And that's what me, you, and Maggie were talking about when we were saying, like, sobriety just got boring at a certain point because everything is controlled.
There's so like, controlled.
There's barely
no
any surprise.
Variables.
That nothing new.
Yeah.
Especially, like, when we have, like, jobs that are more like day jobs that are pretty consistent. Mm. So... there's truly nothing to add any spice. Like, there's fucking no spice.
No spice.
And the spice is back.
The spice is back. It's fun. Sometimes a little too spicy.
Right.
Like, I had that date that I told you about that I woke up and I had
a little too much
up.
Spice.
And I was like, oh, that I'm lucky. Like, that could have been really a lot worse.
Maybe we should just say to, like, maybe we should use spicy as shorthand. Of like, it was a little too spicy.
Yeah. Because a little spice is great, but too much spice, your nose starts running. It hurts. You're like, this takes away from any fun of the food.
That's so true.
That's beautiful.
Wow. Did we just.
Poetic.
We just created
we
something.
Did.
That was a bar.
Well, spicy has been around the block, but in this context, it's kind of a fresh new life for it.
Yeah, it's a new take on an old classic.
Spicy.
Yeah. Spicy.
Well, I love that you had a lovely time with your family.
I really did. Thank you. Yeah. And we went to Target.
I love Target.
So I got all, I stocked up with some seltzers.
Stop.
Yeah.
There's nothing like opening the fridge to a bunch of seltzers. Because especially in the lives we live, like, I can't just get a case of seltzers. That will weigh 4,000 pounds. I can't walk it home. What am I going to, like, drive a car up? Or what? I'm not going to make delivery guys bring me 40. And then if I do it on Amazon, oddly enough, seltzer is not cheap on Amazon.
Yes. It's like an arm and a leg.
$15 for a case of LaCroix. And I'm like, I'll drink tap water.
Right.
But then I'm also like, but I want some fun in my life. Alcohol and seltzer water are the same thing, where you're like, you don't need that, but it's a good time.
Right. I couldn't get through work from home without stupid fucking flavored seltzers.
Right? And there's something about like a Diet Coke. Right?
Where shout out, like, Sarah Barnett.
Shout out the Diet
DC
Coke
Queen. Always got a shout out.
Oh, and the camera died.
Okay.
Pause. Cool.
And we're back.
And we're back. We're back like we never left.
We never fucking left.
What is this focusing? Screw it. I'll learn one day.
Oh, I'm having so much fun.
Right?
Yeah.
It's so fun. I mean, what's cool about having you back here is that you've been in the apartment and you've done a podcast here.
Yeah.
And it was so fun. You told your go back and watch Bonding with Kitty Reynolds if you haven't seen that already. Kitty told a really great story about her anal skin tag. Is that what it was?
That's such a good story. Yeah. And I still got it.
Amazing.
Still rocking.
Still rocking. That's a great story. And we had so much fun.
Can I tell you another story?
Please. About, I love your stories.
Assholes.
I'd love an... Oh.
Did I tell you that? Yes.
Yeah, but okay. It's so funny. You got to tell it. You got to tell it. It's so good.
So.
This is one of the crazier things that... It sums up life and comedy very well.
Yes. Yes. This is... epitomizes a woman's journey in comedy. So there is a woman's comedy festival, the Knockouts, which has been awesome. It's been going on in New York. And one of the producers, I guess, reached out to me and was like, hey, I would love to have you like help with promoting the festival. We have this like brand partnership that we could have you do content for. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm quitting my job. Yeah, I'm done. I've made it, Mom. And so I'm retiring. So she's like, can I call you? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, have you ever heard of Tushy? The bidet brand? I'm like, yeah, I've heard of Tushy. Yeah, I listen to podcasts.
Yeah, right. They really did it big in the podcast
space. Yeah. Like, yeah. So I'm like, yeah, I'm smart. I listen to podcasts. I know what Tushy is. And she's like, okay, so what we would have you do is you would dress up as an asshole. An asshole.
That's so crazy.
And you would man on the street. You would interview people. As dressed as an asshole, a butthole.
Did she say it like that?
I'm sorry, Natalia. I gotta stop you there. I go, I'm sorry. I'm allergic to bathroom humor. I don't care if this is a $4 million opportunity. I cannot dress up as a butthole and walk around New York City. Already my asshole isn't right. I don't even have an asshole to begin with. You know, I don't have a good asshole. So now I'm going to dress up as a better asshole than I even have myself.
No.
And talk to strangers? No.
That is so crazy.
Did she I hate say myself it? Did a she, little, like, not that much.
As she said it? Or she no. was selling it hard. Like, you're going to put on a butthole costume and get
yeah, out of she's
it.
Like, we heard you are the best at this kind of thing. We heard you are the biggest asshole, and we heard that you are such a loser that you would accept this opportunity.
I want to know what the costume looked like. Was it around the face? Like one of those flower things?
I need to know.
I want
to
know what the butthole costume and if anyone's going to do it.
Is it like a lion's mane?
Is anyone
like,
going to do it?
We have to look out because you know there's someone who's going to do it.
Who would do that?
Who would do it?
I'm trying to think.
Ruth Allen.
I'm getting cut out.
Sorry.
She would
cut it out. She'll kill me.
I know. We're gonna cut that out. I have to learn how to edit now, Kitty. God damn it.
Honestly, you don't have to edit it.
I'm gonna beep it.
Honestly, you don't have to edit it because I think that she would understand what I mean.
Really?
Yeah.
She. You're right. Her fancy butthole joke is incredible.
Yeah. I think she would understand.
That's a good compliment.
But it's actually a compliment.
So Ruth Allen, very funny comedian in New York, has a very funny joke where she says, vaginas are just fancy buttholes. And that...
It's genius. It's the truth.
Like, quit. Everyone else should quit. You hear that joke and you're like, what am I doing with my life?
My brain broke.
Yeah, I'm like, that is exactly... Yeah. What a butthole or a vagina is.
My brain came out of its skull.
Yeah, I was
when
like,
she said
fancy
that.
Butthole.
When those are the things that I get so jealous of other comedians.
You're right.
It's the
because that's a joke that sticks with you and you think about it and you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
It makes me like my vagina more.
Yeah, it's so fancy.
It's a fancy butthole. I got a front butthole with a few extra flaps. And I feel pretty good about that.
How cool is that?
Neat. Guys don't have that. You have one butthole that's basic, and then you've got some weird situation that you have no control over, just flapping around, getting hard when it wants.
Right.
Failing you when you need it most.
Yeah. The disappointment.
The disappointment.
In Dick. No one's talking about it.
And also, I watched the Jay Shetty, or Diary of a CEO podcast recently. They're very entertaining.
Yeah, and we should talk about Jay Shetty.
You really got to.
Yeah.
But it was a sex therapist was on, and she was saying how men get their pleasure from being, you know, inside, and women, there's nothing fun for us in there. It's on the outside.
Yeah.
But the way men and women are our bodies, they don't match.
Right.
So you got to tell the men, hey, it's on the outside. It's the outside. And I went to Texas last 2 weekends ago, and this guy, this comic, Dayland, weird name, I think. But I'll get it right. Whatever. Funny comic. He had a really funny joke being like, imagine if a girl went to give you head and just licked everywhere but your dick. And I'm like, welcome to being a woman.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally really everything but. Up.
You're like, no. Okay. There. And then they lose it. And you're just like, whatever.
One time I faked an orgasm when a guy was fingering me because it was so bizarre. I was like, does really? He think this is a good time?
Oh.
Does he think
a bad a fingering? Jam? A bad, oh, it's so bad. You're like, am I in middle school? Are you learning how to finger paint again? Because I need a Picasso type.
Right.
Yeah.
That was, you know, I guess that was college. So we got to give him a break. He's probably 19 years old.
I've experienced it recently. I'm like, at really? This point, any man over 25 should know the basics.
Watch a YouTube video.
And that's the weird thing. The one that really was bad, he said he watched a lot of porn. So I went into it being like, you've watched, you've learned. I'd like to think that as men, I think how much porn men watch is kind of gross, but I'm like, at least take something away. But they don't.
I think that's the problem is then they get like, they think they have to play this character and they start to do things that are like more contrived and less
intuitive.
Yeah. And not like what they feel.
Right. They're like, I saw this on porn. Smack. Right. Like, wow. Like,
I'm going to choke you because women are loving that in 2024. Yeah. It's like, just feel.
Right.
Feel the intimacy.
Yeah. It's a whole thing. And it's so funny because it really is a language. And if you're not speaking the same language, it's game over.
Game over.
But it's a very it's like Mandarin in a lot of ways. And you're like, God, I gotta get Rosetta Stone out or something.
That's so true. It is a language.
It's a language, and you gotta find. It's so weird to find a partner because you gotta be able to be like, hey, I need you to leave the house for a minute. I'm gonna take a huge shit.
Yeah.
But and then like 4 hours later, you want to have the hottest sex of your life. It's like,
it's so interesting.
It's so hard. It's so interesting. Yeah.
I never thought I could live with a man. Like, I've only had sisters.
Mm-hmm, same.
And my dad, you know, such a girl dad at this point. Like, yeah. I thought.
He's actually a woman now.
Yeah. I was like, I don't think I can ever go to the bathroom with a boy in my apartment. Like, this sounds crazy. Yeah. Like, I will have to get 2 bathrooms. Like, I don't know what we'll do. Maybe I'll go to Starbucks for the rest of my life in the morning. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, Starbucks is your like hotel lobby.
Right.
Like whenever you're at a hotel with a guy, hotel lobby.
Hotel lobby.
It's like a cat box. You know, it's like the litter box. You're like, excuse me, I'm gonna go.
Yeah. When like we were in date parties and stuff in college, like it was always just like, hey, you guys wanna go to the lobby? Gotta go. Sorry, we just gave that away. The secret. Fuck.
No. It's kind of obvious.
Yeah, they know.
I'm going to the lot. I'm getting a coffee. I'll be back in 20 minutes.
Right. And then it's 40 minutes? Yeah. They know.
Yeah.
But that's what you got
to
do.
I told Troy that when we were on the road. I was like, whenever I go to the lobby, I'm taking a huge shit.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, you didn't have to tell me that. And I go, yeah, well, I did.
He's like, you didn't have to tell me the size.
So enjoy. Yeah. You didn't have to send me a photo of it. You didn't want that? You didn't want that as your phone background? It's so weird. I thought you would want that.
I never thought I could do it. And now it is, it's a natural, normal part of my life. But I think that really is finding someone that.
Comfortability.
Yeah. That has that. Yeah. The Venn diagram of attractiveness and comfortability.
It is a Venn diagram.
Yeah.
I want to fuck you and I can still take a shit in my own home.
Yeah. And sometimes you meet people that you really want to fuck, but you could never do that around.
Yeah.
And then the opposite.
Or you really want to fuck them, but if you saw that light of them, it's just.
Yes.
You're like, ew, you're either or.
Yes.
I don't want both.
Or someone that I really just wanted to impress too much, so I could never be myself.
Toxic, yeah.
Yeah. And that's never healthy.
Oh, it's so hard. I just love that you have someone.
Thank goodness.
Congrats.
Shout out. He's a good guy.
I'm happy. Thank God. It's just so grounding. It's so grounding.
It's grounding, and I just thank my lucky stars that he's not a comedian, because I think I really couldn't
compete.
I think it would be nuts.
Yeah,
I think fair. I would die.
Well, also men want to be better. I think from like a masculinity, like provider, like a very like primal state of being like, this is how I'm going to provide. And it's like, if the female comic was doing better, it'd be hard for them to be like, oh, you're doing better than me.
And it's also the only, this sounds so sad, but people will understand it. Being silly and goofy for me has always been one of the only things I've liked about myself, which is really sad. And I'm getting better.
No, that's because I'll do that too. Or I will run down a list to make myself feel better about like, what do I like about myself?
Yeah.
And my sense of humor is number one, because it allows for me to also deal with my traumas. So it's like a trickle effect of you being like, me being goofy allows for me to kind of give myself grace on the other problems. And so it's a good umbrella.
Yeah.
So don't, it's like, that's hard. You're being hard on yourself, but also that's like a beautiful, like over, what the fuck?
Damn. You were dropping bars too.
I'm buying a camera.
Yeah. Fuck.
Anyways, I was just talking about, we were talking about how we like ourselves.
Yep.
It's so good when you do that.
You gotta do it.
It's not easy.
My therapist made me make a list the other day. It was so painful.
Wait, I want to hear. Are you open to sharing your list or some of it?
She was just like, can you list? Am I in this? Your shoulders out. Get in.
Yeah, okay.
Cool. Okay.
Thank you.
She had me do it while we were on like our session. Mm-hmm. So she's like, can you list things you like about yourself? And I was like, truly in physical pain. Like I was sitting there, like my hands just like, I was sweating by the end of it. And she was like, how did that make you feel? And I was like, well, I was gonna say fine, but if I'm being honest, like I'm uncomfortable. Like I'm physically uncomfortable.
Really?
And she's like, is it okay if I send you that list that you just, it's okay.
Jesus, I'm sorry. I just need this closer to me. We're learning. Wait, a stupid podcast. There we go.
Stupidest.
I just need to
podcast.
Be in frame with my mic, and now I'm happy. Okay, so
yeah, you're good.
So you did your list with your therapist, and it made you upset.
Yeah, and she was.
And like, wait, was number one silly?
Yeah, okay. I was like, I like that. I have a
That's
sense
my
of
favorite
humor.
Thing about you.
Thank you.
It's grounding, and it's easy to be around. And it's kind of like that Maya Angelou quote where. It's like you forget what people say, but you remember the way they make you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an energy you bring to all of your relationships. That like you feel fun around you because you're like, it's all silly and goofy. And it's like, yeah, we all have our shit and our traumas. But like when you can be silly and like kind of forget about them for a minute, or have them have this silly undertone to them where you're like, yeah, this is like we bond over PCOS and drinking. And it's like these are all traumas and problems in our lives. But like we can continuously make jokes about them.
Yeah.
And make it fun and relatable and connect people on those things.
Right. So. And we've always been, I think, very... Also, since we read The Greatness Mindset as well, Lewis Howes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We both, I think, have been pretty clear about our vision with comedy, which is like... And yeah, obviously, sense of humor different from comedy. But like, the reason I go on stage is because I want people to feel good. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why I'm doing it. Followers are awesome.
Yeah.
That helps me make more people feel good. But, like, I love those moments where I feel like someone had a better night because of me.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I want
to
do.
When they come up to you after and they're like, that really, like, I needed to hear that. You're like, I could die right now.
Chills. Like, and that's where I think I have turned into such a clown because, like, I love... to just, my whole thing is I just want people to feel good all the time. Like, I've had such moments, we both have, of our lives that are like, have been so dark that when you get past, when you have perspective, you just understand that sense of humor is number one.
Mm-hmm. Truly.
Number one. When you're old and when you see your grandparents struggling and they still have that little sense of humor,
it's everything.
That's it.
It's everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all you got.
Once.
Sorry, I got so intense.
No, I love that because I agree. I've watched my grandparents get old and my grandfather was in a lot of pain in the final years of his life. And the pain took away his ability to find that joy.
Yeah.
And it was so awful to watch because he's always been so funny. And once you lose that, you can't. It's just...
Yeah.
So...
It's the spice of life.
Yeah.
What would be the... Like, I truly do believe that fun is the point of life.
What are we doing here?
Right.
There's no reason for me to be on this earth.
It's not money.
No one needs me here.
It's not...
Like, my family and my friends, but, like, as right. far as the earth spinning, like, it'd be better if I wasn't throwing things away.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, like, fucking have fun and make someone else have fun.
Yeah.
Smile at someone on the street. Like, that's my thing where it's, like, spread the joy. Be a light. And I think that you bring that everywhere you go.
Thanks,
and
dude.
I feel that. And I couldn't agree more. I've written that in my blog a few times where I'm like, if you're not having fun, what the fuck are you doing?
Right. To fill up your fun cup.
Like, my dad is a... Thank you. I love that. My dad's a very negative person. And, like, sometimes I'm just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? If you're not having fun, what the fuck? My mom has always been the light, my guiding light of, like, have fun.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Do it.
Your mom is so fun.
She's the best.
Yeah.
She's like, spend the money. You're into whatever. You'll figure it out. And she's really pushed me towards that. Because if you're not living like that, life is fucking hard as is.
It's so hard.
It's so hard.
And it doesn't get easier.
It gets harder. It
keeps getting harder.
You lose, like, your loved ones. You're forced to kind of grow up and budget mm-hmm. and make a life for yourself.
People
and,
change.
Yeah. Like, being a kid is awesome. You can shit the bed over and over and over again. And someone's like, well, you're young. You'll figure it out. But as you get older, it's like, oh, fuck. Okay.
I read a really good book called, like, In Awe, I think it was called. And it was about how to, like, maintain your childlike wonder.
Love that.
To, like, stay fun and, like, mm-hmm. keep that, like, vibrancy.
I love that.
And it was really, like, beautiful because he's like, yeah, when you're young, like, everything's exciting because you're genuinely curious about everything.
Totally.
And somehow, some way, as you get socialized and conditioned, people teach you to not care and to not be curious and to, like, not get excited for things. And, like,
right.
now, since I've read that, I actually have...
I love that.
Yeah. Have tried to be, like... genuinely excited for little things.
That's amazing.
And when people make fun of me, I'm like, you just haven't, you don't know the things I know.
Yeah.
You'll understand in a few years whenever you get to the point that we've gotten to, not that we're perfect, but, like, when you do a lot of self-help.
Level.
Right. But when you do self-help, you know where your bodies are, you know where the skeletons are in your closet.
Yeah.
You shake hands with them, you do a little dance, and then you move on.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I'm just so... I was talking about this with Jana Bernard because she just went through a really tough time. And she's like, I am just on cloud nine because I'm just so happy to be here.
Yeah.
And I don't always have that, right? Like, I don't have an unwavering optimism, like, for life. Right.
Yeah.
But all it's I can do fun. Is stay grateful.
Totally.
That's all you can do.
Yeah.
There's also something to be said for it doesn't matter how traumatic something is. If you reach an inflection point of perspective,
totally.
Like, that's enough.
That's what I take from that, where I'm like, oh, I'm just happy I'm here.
Right. Like, for me, that moment was being in the hospital with my cyst rupture that hit a blood vessel, and I internally hemorrhaged.
No way.
Did I not tell you this?
No, when was that?
So January 2020, I was walking to work, normal fucking day in DC, and... I started to feel intense abdominal pain. And we're PCOSers. I had cyst rupturing my whole life.
Yeah.
So it's really painful, but it wasn't that pain. It was way worse. And so I thought I actually had, like, a gastrointestinal problem because it was that big of my, like, it was all of my abdomen. It didn't feel like my ovaries. So I'm walking to work. I get to work and I am going down the tubes. I'm looking at my coworkers and I go, guys, I'm so sorry. I feel really weird. Like, I can't even say hi. I could tell the color from my face was draining.
Yeah.
And I look at, like, my boss and I was like, I don't know what's going on, but I gotta go home. I gotta go home. So I get back and I try to, like, go to the bathroom.
You walked home?
I took an Uber.
Okay.
And I tried to go to the bathroom because I thought it was something like that. And nothing's happening.
Yeah.
I'm writhing on my bed, rolling around like this.
No.
I'm alone. And I go, I gotta go to, like, urgent care. So I get to urgent care and the wait was 2 hours.
Ugh.
So I get on the sidewalk. I go, Dad, don't tell Mom. Do not tell Mom. Because they were about to go to my sister's track meet in Detroit.
Okay.
So they're literally at the airport going to Michigan. And you know, I die for Faith. So I'm like, no, you guys got to go to her track meet. I'll be okay. Because I don't even know what it is.
Right.
And he goes, and I'm like, Dad, what do I do? Like, it's 2-hour wait at urgent care, but this feels really serious. He goes, okay, go to the ER. And luckily, I had a friend who maybe a year before had an awful situation at GW because it's like more of a trauma center. So she didn't get the help she needed really quickly there. So I knew to go to the Rich People Hospital, Sibley, and like the Johns Hopkins one. And so I go to this bougie fucking hospital in the Palisades. No one's in the ER. And the girl looks at me like, why are you here? Because I have a full face of makeup. Yeah. I'm in a work outfit, but I'm hunched over like the like Hunchback of Notre Dame. I can't stand up straight. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what's going on? I go, I have intense abdominal pain. I don't know what's happening. Like, I need to see someone. Like, something bad is happening to me. And my stomach was getting bigger. Like, larger.
Weird.
I'm like, is this a cryptic pregnancy? Like, what's happening? And my boyfriend was working in the Pentagon. So I couldn't text him.
Yeah.
And I emailed him because his phone gets locked up in a skiff.
Ty?
Yeah. Really? Or when he was working there. Yeah. And so I had to email him. I'm like, did we have expired yogurt last night? Like, and he's like, no, it wasn't expired. I didn't know what was going on. I go, okay, my phone's dying, but I'm heading to this hospital. Something's wrong. I'll talk to you when I can. Phone dies. I get to the hospital. They don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. They immediately give me like Advil, which was the wrong thing because
that thins your blood.
Yeah, and I'm a bleeder.
Oh God. I'm
a bleeder, and I've always been a bleeder. So I was like, oh my God, like what's going on? I'm getting now, they don't know what's happening, but now everyone who I've texted is calling the hospital. So I have nurses just coming and being like, you have a phone call? Like
Mrs. Pomper.
I was like holding court, I'm in intense pain. Tyler, and this is when I knew I was going to marry the guy, because he comes back, you know, he came right from work and was like, okay, what do you need? I'm going to your place and I'm coming right back. Like, and he slept there with me. It was just, we had been together for like 6 months. And so I get up to the room, they give me the morphine button, which is just heaven on earth. I mean, truly amazing. I see why people get addicted. Yeah. Just the little boop, boop, boop. And after a while they start to figure it out. They're like, you're hemorrhaging. This rupture created like a bleed. And they said it hit a blood vessel. I still don't know what that means. Okay. But it was about, I think I was there for about like 30 hours.
Wow.
So it was just like 2 days and a night. Yeah. And they were like, okay, we may have to do emergency surgery. So we'll let you know if that happens. But right now we're just going to have to stop the bleeding. And so they gave me coagulants. Mm-hmm. And so that was like through the IV. Mm-hmm. And Tyler said that I turned to him because they basically, it stops your blood flow. And I think I probably got brain damage. I think that's why I'm a nut, because he said, I looked at him and I was like crying, like tears are coming out of my eyes. And I'm like, I just think that we're birds that have beaks. And he was like, nurse. Stop the coagulants. I like truly like started to lose it.
Birds that have beaks?
Yeah. He's like, the blood, something's up. We got to stop. So they stopped the coagulants. And luckily the bleeding did stop from that. And I was on bed rest for about a week.
Okay.
And then I started to walk slowly but surely. I was like, I literally was like not even passing grandmas on the sidewalk. You know, like I was weak.
That's so nuts that all they did was the coagulants and the IV drip.
That's
it. And
your
body just kind of like fixed itself.
Yeah. And all of the blood reabsorbed over the next few months.
Okay.
But after that, I had crazy and still do. My body really changed. That's why I lost like 30 pounds by accident, because like my body just went haywire, which I'm still figuring out. But like, that was the moment where I was like, wow, you can just be walking to work and your health just flips on a dime.
Yeah.
Or the health of a loved one flips on a dime.
It's
and
so
like,
scary.
It's crazy. So scary.
I mean, I had a really bad, I don't want to say near-death experience, but I had a crazy migraine and I couldn't stop throwing up for a day or two. I didn't eat. I hadn't, I, and which is, I've never not had an appetite in my entire life. So I was like, something's wrong. But food grossed me out for a whole week. But eventually I went to the ER because I peed and it was brown. It was brown because I was so dehydrated and I couldn't drink water because if I drank, I threw up. If I ate, I threw up. And that was for 2 days at least. So I just was like in my bed, just like, I've never been to the ER at that point. I was like, I'm not going to the ER. I'm right. So drama.
Right.
And then my friends were all like, Tori, like, you got to go. So I went and they thought I had meningitis. Oh, I went to urgent care. They said, if you don't get better in a day, you probably have meningitis. You could die in like 24 hours. And I was like, that's crazy. But I didn't get better. So I went and they thought they had to do a spinal tap on me to make sure I didn't have meningitis. So I'm in like this ER. I'm at Beth Israel, which is like the most ghetto place of all time. There was like a man in there that was like, I've been shot. And like they're like stabbing me in the back with this needle. My sister is pregnant now. She doesn't even want an epidural because she watched them fail at a spinal tap on me. She goes, I will never recover from that. I do not want that. I will give a natural birth because I could not believe watching them stab you in the back.
Sorry, where in the spine do they do it?
Lower back.
Lower? Okay.
It was wild. Eventually, I had an IV in my body for 24 hours at least. And then I went. I was there for the same amount of time. Like, got there at like 7 at night, stayed the night, and then I left the next day at like, I don't know, like 5. But I still, after that, I still had a headache. I still threw up when I got home. My sister was like, get the fuck out of here, because I didn't have good health insurance at the time because I wasn't working for my current day job. I had like my own plan. It cost $20,000. My insurance got down to 5. I still kind of skirted that bill. I don't know where that bill is. But wild. Yeah, and to your point, like the only thing that came back was RSV, but I was breathing fine. So I'm like, I don't know what
That's
it was.
So weird.
But it was crazy. And I remember like, just sobbing in my bed for days after that because my migraine didn't go away and I continued to throw up. And my mom drove to New York to pick me up because I couldn't get on a train. I couldn't drive. She literally came and got me and just brought me home just so I could like sleep it off the rest of the day.
That's so spooky.
It's weird. But to your point, it's like,
right.
Your health is just, my mom got diabetes when she was 45, type 1. She's a thin, healthy woman.
Right.
Went through a bad divorce, had a lot of stress. My grandfather got it. One day you're fine, the next your pancreas just stops creating insulin, mm-hmm. and she passed out in an ER in my arms. Yeah. And we were like, her blood sugar was 1,000, it's supposed to be 100. They're like, she should be in a diabetic coma. Like, she really, like, shouldn't be here.
The body keeps the score.
It's crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah, so they always say, like, until you lose your health, you take it for granted.
Yeah. It's like, I think, too, because we're young, there's very few people that we know that have had these like interactions yeah. with like health scares. Mm-hmm. And so as we get year older. By year, you get another story of like a perfectly healthy person mm-hmm. either having a mental health issue or a physical health issue. Yeah. And it's like, wow, this is life.
Yeah.
It gets a little bit more, is the word real? Precarious? Real?
As you get older. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of my friends and my mom included have had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
My mom just had, she had cancer behind her eye, which is like the craziest. They had to take her eye out, do a biopsy, put her eye back in, and then she had to do rounds of radiation. And it's weird when it's your family that's happening to, because it's like you hear like, oh, they had cancer. But like, it all kind of happens and then it goes away if it goes away.
Yeah.
So it was a weird experience. But I've had many friends with moms that had double mastectomies from breast yep. cancer. And just life goes on.
Right.
It's just so fast. It's just like, I don't know.
You just got to stay.
Or it doesn't if you lose them. But my friends, we've all been very fortunate. But it's just crazy being that age. Like, I was at a dinner last year and my friend was like, I was like, oh, my mom just got diagnosed with cancer. And she's like, oh, yeah, my dad just had a heart attack. Oh, and then it's like, we just shared these like horrible. Right. We all went in a circle and we're like, anyways.
Yeah.
Like, I guess this is 30s. Okay.
And also, why is it like, maybe because on social, like, I'm never going to share the bad on social, like the really bad.
Yeah.
Because I just don't, to be honest, it feels somewhat attention seeking. Like when I see people post their bad, I kind of do an eye roll.
Totally.
I'm like, why are you showing me?
Or like for me too, like I had a friend Grant pass when I was in college and a lot of people posted about it on Instagram and I had just a really hard time with that. where I was like, that's such a look at me, woe is me. But then I'm also like, if I were to die, I would hope that people blasted me right. all over the place and keep them alive. So I've changed my tune on that a little bit, where it's like, I want to keep them alive, but it's a really hard art and line to find where you're like, this isn't about me.
Yeah.
This is about preserving their spirit. And it also doesn't have to do, it's fucking social media. Who gives?
Like, right. Who cares?
So many layers.
And also, I think when people die, too, that's a little different because it's like you have a duty to almost memorialize them in like the most public way that you can. Yeah. But when people are just... When I read a long caption about someone's journey with like an eating disorder, I like to know that. But I also am just like, I don't have the balls, I guess, to share those things yeah. so explicitly.
Or you don't feel the need.
Yeah. Maybe
it's interesting. Yeah, you know, the body stuff is interesting when people are like, it's like her in a sports bra, and she's like, I would have never shared this. I never thought I would. And then they do, and you're like, empowering, good for you. Like, I had a girl recently from my hometown share about how she did 75 hard, and she like really opened up, being like, it was like her before photos where she was like a lot bigger and like struggling, and then she looks amazing, and you're okay. like, that's awesome, and I felt very inspired by it. But I'm also like, what's the end game? But it's also like, cool, you worked really hard and you right. want to share that.
Like, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's me being a hater to a certain extent.
No, we all are.
And I think, yeah, because it is good that people are more authentic on social, no matter what that is.
Yeah. I do like TikToks. Yeah. When, like, it's like someone crying and they're like, it's because of this. And you're like, I relate to that.
I did cry in a TikTok. Did you see it?
No.
It felt really vulnerable. But I was also laughing in it. So.
Oh.
It was recent because...
I gotta watch. I love your TikToks. If you're listening to this and you don't follow Kitty Reynolds, figure your shit out. Like, you need... Yeah.
You will... Yeah, you'll definitely be concerned to a certain extent, but you will laugh, hopefully.
Who cares? Concern, schmincern. We right. all have our fucking shit.
Right. And also, I'm getting to the point where... When I say those things of like, I'm so crazy, that's me just protecting this insecurity I have of like people, I think people think I'm so crazy. And it's like, I know I'm not fucking crazy.
Right.
I have a great job. You can say it because I got a house. Like, yeah. I'm fucking fine.
Yeah.
You're like,
I got a stable boyfriend. Right.
I've got friends. Yeah. Like, I got my people lifelong.
Yeah.
I know I'm not a fucking nut.
Now that allows you to be more crazy.
Yeah.
That's the fun.
That's the fun of it.
That's the fun.
That's why you got to get grounded so you can just be...
Get grounded so you can get crazy.
Yeah.
That's the quote of this. That's the name of this title.
I like that because that's the truth.
It's and also, we that puts a bow on our self-help love.
Oh, it does.
Gorgeous. If this video Bars. Quality is trash, I think it's going to be good.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
Oh, if we
get grounded so you can get crazy.
Is that the end or are we just dropping bars?
I think we did it.
Yeah. How much time did we do?
I think we've been talking for like an hour. The camera died twice. We've been talking for a while, actually. Yeah. It's 2:30.
Jeez.
You came here at 1. We probably started recording at 1:30.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think we did it.
Okay.
Guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. I have to edit this now. I don't know. I think we have a few clips, though.
I think we do.
I love your story about the phone.
Dude.
The Dory Wallaby Way. You gotta tell that into a mic on a stage.
I do have to do it on
That's
stage.
A mic. I was like, I'm getting the early draft of a beautiful joke.
It has to be. It really must be.
Okay, Kitty Reynolds, thank you for being here. Anything you want to plug?
I love you.
I love you so much.
I love you. I'm sorry to be here. Nothing to plug except for, follow me on social. Look, I don't post every day. I'm not a hack, okay? I don't post every day. Also, I just get depressed right before my period, so I usually post and then I drop off for about a week and then I come back.
I had a weird doodle explosion and then I haven't posted anything on Instagram for like 2-3 weeks. So. I'm manic.
Isn't that funny that you don't even notice? Like when you don't post, you're like, oh no, I'm going to fucking lose my following. And then when someone else doesn't, you're like,
no one gives a shit. We're all just having a good time.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for being here. I love you so much. Follow Kitty Reynolds on Instagram, on TikTok, on Life.
Love you.
She's a great person to... I'm lucky. I feel bad for anyone listening to this that's not best friends with you. It makes me sad, but everyone will get their shit together.
Thanks for watching, guys.
Love you all. We did it.